This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Jenna looked up at the painting of the crying boy she had just placed on the wall. While at the flea market with friends, it had caught her eye. And at the price of £3, she just couldn't pass it up. Her friends told her it was creepy and she was crazy for wanting it, but it was almost calling to her. She had to have it. Now that she was home alone, though, staring at this painting, she started to feel a bit uneasy. Maybe it was a bit creepy. She decided to sleep on if she wanted to keep it up and address it in the morning. Around 2 in the morning, she awoke to the sound of a smoke detector going off. She began to cough and saw smoke pouring into her bedroom. Panicking, she managed to get a window open and escape the blaze. She was standing on the sidewalk as the fire department pulled up and began to fight the fire. She informed them she was the only one in the house as she collapsed to a sitting position on the ground and watched everything she owned go up in flames. A few days later, she returned to the charred house to take a look through the wreckage to see if anything was salvageable. As she sifted through the burnt-out remains of her possessions, something caught her eye. Jenna approached the object and turned it over. Staring back at her was the completely unburnt painting of the crying boy, and she could swear that a small grin was now on his face.
I'm Rob Coakley, and this is Hometown Ghost Stories, Cursed Possessions, The Painting of the Crying Boy. What's going on, everybody? Today we are talking about the Curse of the Crying Boy painting, which hit its peak in the 1980s over in Europe. Now, our story starts with the Italian painter Giovanni Bragolin. Or does it? Because you see, Giovanni didn't exist. In reality, it was a Spanish painter named Bruno Amadeo who used various aliases for his painting names. From the 1950s to the 1980s, he would complete over 60 paintings in his Crying Boy collection. Now, this series would take off, but unfortunately for Bruno, it's the only paintings of his that would do well. Now, after a while, people were starting to wonder how Bruno was getting these kids to cry for the paintings, and he would be accused of abuse. And some even went on to compare Bruno to the devil himself. Now, of all of his Crying Boy paintings, one in particular stands out. The one that reportedly causes buildings, houses, to burn down if it's hung inside of them. Now, before we get to that, though, let's get to the backstory of this painting, which might be even more terrifying itself. Now, according to Bruno, the subject of this painting was an orphan that he came across while walking the streets of Madrid. He stopped to paint this child when he was approached by a priest. Now, this priest decided to give him the backstory of this particular orphan. Not only was he an orphan, but he was also a mute, and his name was Don Bonillo. And Don had come to the orphanage after his parents had died in a fire, with the source of the fire being unable to be explained. And since then, fires would break out wherever Don was. And it was so bad that the priest had told him that some had nicknamed the child Diablo. And the priest told him to stay away from this child. However, Bruno decided to adopt the child instead and bring him home. So after this, things would go well for a bit until tragedy would strike. Bruno's apartment, which was also his art studio, would go up in flames, causing him to lose everything. Now, remembering what the priest said, he thought back to the orphan and kicked him out, never to be seen again. Years later, in 1976, police would respond to a car fire right outside of Barcelona. Upon arrival, they would see a car that was completely engulfed in flames. When they were finally to put this fire out, they checked the glove box, and within the glove box, they were able to recover some ID. The name on the ID? Don Bonillo. The boy from the crying painting had died in a fire. And right around this time, these paintings had become very, very popular, and people started hanging them in their houses and their businesses throughout all of Europe. And it wouldn't take long for the curse to begin. Ron and Mary Hall were the first two to report on the curse of the crying boy painting. Their house would burn down, and the only thing left afterwards, unscathed, was this painting. Upon investigation, it was discovered that a frying pan had actually caused a fire at the Halls. However, the Halls really didn't believe this, and they think that this painting that they had brought into their house was the main cause of the fire happening there. After this, over 60 fires would be reported that also had a version of this painting on the property. And almost all of them would have the same story. The house would burn down with a typical cause of a fire, such as a frying pan or maybe a candle. But the next part is what set all these fires apart from the others. The other thing that they had in common is that this painting would be in the rubble of the fire with no marks on it at all, perfectly intact. Firefighters didn't want to add to this hysteria, but they couldn't come up with a reason why the painting was the only thing left in all of these cases. Eventually, a newspaper would put out an article during this hysteria stating that if you sent them your painting, they would find a way to dispose of it. After receiving over 2,500 copies of the painting, on Halloween Day, they would have a massive bonfire right outside the Thames River, getting rid of all of these paintings. Now, the newspaper after this would put out an article stating that they had gotten rid of the curse. It was gone. However, to this day, there are still copies of the painting floating around, and we are still getting reports of buildings, houses, businesses burning down, and the painting being the cause. One of the unfortunate byproducts of this is that the painter Bruno Amadeo would also be negatively affected for the rest of his life, as people wouldn't buy his paintings anymore, thinking that they would all be cursed. So what do you think? Do you think that this is a curse, or do you think that people were just trying to get into the newspaper? Now, myself, Dave, and Jesse are about to talk about this and give our thoughts, but we want to know what you think. So leave a message in the comments, shoot us an email. That way we can compare and you can see whose side you're on, myself, Dave, or Jesse, right now.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into Hometown Ghost Stories, Cursed Possessions. This one is about a crying, fireproof painting of a boy. And I am a boy, and I'm joined by Rob, who's also a boy. Hello, Rob.
I am also a boy, and we are joined by Dave, who is also a boy.
This is all very true. It looked like I was going to say something there, but I wasn't. I psyched you out.
This is one of my favorite cursed possessions. I've been a fan of this. I've been a fan of this guy's work for a while. I've followed along with the curse. It has always caught my eye. I had thought about covering it on a few of these. And for once, Rob stole one from me instead of me always stealing them from Rob. So now I know how it feels.
And is that true? You were – sorry to step on you setting my house on fire. But – is this true? You've always been into these paintings? Like
It's been just one of the cursed things that I've followed along with. Okay. So I know.
Yeah, you made that sound like, yeah, I'm a big fan of the artist.
Yeah,
you're all cultured and shit.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I just really like this artist, and I enjoy crying children so much.
This wall that I have behind me was designed. It was not. It was. Yeah, I frequently just make my kids cry, and that's enough for me. So. Just because of the inspiration from the paintings.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad we've picked up on this child abuse on this episode. So that's good.
That's an interesting angle, though, is that people are like, well, how are you getting these kids to cry? I mean, he could have had a picture of a crying kid and painted the picture, right? Is that...
Or he could just imagine what a kid looks like crying. Pout had the tears in.
Yeah, a lot of them, they have their hands over their face and stuff. It's like, that's not that hard to imagine.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at one right now. He's a kid with his, he's kind of doing this with his hand underneath his chin. And he looks like, it looks like a picture where he just added the tears and they weren't.
Okay. You're looking at pictures of his artwork. I thought you were Googling pictures of kids crying.
No.
About your internet search history.
That's that would be a very interesting search history for people to find of yours, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. No, I try not to search for too many pictures of children crying, because it's just a sad thing to think about, really.
It is.
What I found amusing about this whole story, the fire marshal or whoever, I don't know when this was, I don't remember when was this? This 80s, like, said, right?
The 80s-ish.
Yeah. So like a fire marshal was like, here, we think this is a grease fire, probably started in a frying pan. And they were like, I find that kind of hard to believe. Here's what we think. We think it was a painting that started it. And they're like, oh, painting. Okay, we'll show. Just like, can you, what makes you think that? Is the painting all charred up? Maybe that's where the fire started. And they're like, no, here's the painting completely untouched by fire. And the fire marshal was like, and you think this is where the fire started? Not a grease fire? It's like, how did you get there?
To be fair, they're saying that it's not necessarily the cause, but it's the reason, I guess.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, well, no. Yeah, it's the curse. That's why we're here, right?
Well, if it was a one-off, we would all be like, these people are completely insane. And they were looking for maybe some sort of insurance payout or something. And hey, who knows? Maybe they were. But what we can explain is the multiple fires afterwards, where I was seeing reports of up to 60 or more with the same situation, where a building would burn down, everything would be charred ash, and then this freaking painting is just sitting there pretty much untouched.
I have some questions that maybe you don't have the answers to them, but okay, so all these paintings, so this artist was very popular at the time, right, in Europe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so kind of like maybe like a, you know, a Rembrandt or something, but like from the 80s, or someone who's like very popular, where there was like a lot of these in a lot of houses, right? And these people start hearing about this situation where they're like,
oh, a Rembrandt, Dave? Like, not to cut you off, but you just go to the
there was nowhere for him to go. He put himself in a hole there. There's no way to climb out. He was popular, but he wasn't Van Gogh. He wasn't like that popular.
It's like, okay, you know, he's basically the 1980s Picasso. Everything's worth millions of dollars.
Rob, when you say that, I need you to do it better. I need you to say, Picasso!
Hey, there we go.
Lamborghini!
It's a me, a Picasso.
He was more of a Prius.
Like, no, but whatever. So if he was a popular, I know, obviously Rembrandt is obviously like extreme, but if he was like a popular artist at the time, and were these paintings that were being found, were they originals or were they prints?
No, these were prints.
Okay, so I mean, this could have been something that was in every house at the time, you know, popular in the 80s. Saying.
Yeah, in some of these fires, they may never have found the print because it could completely burnt away, and maybe it just so happened that in some of these, I don't think, if we're gonna jump straight into is it a curse or not, I lean towards yes, but I would say that like I don't think a print would carry the curse. I would feel like it would have to be an original painting for it to be part of the curse, but.
I feel like my point was, this is something that was in everybody's house at the time anyway. That could just be people someone's house burns down. They say, oh, I had one of those prints. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, of course you did. Everyone did. So now, like, yeah. So it would be like saying, okay, well, my house burnt down. I had pictures of my kids on the wall. And someone's like, oh my God, my house burnt down. I had pictures of my kids on the wall. Are pictures of your children cursed? Like, is having pictures of your kid on the house, you know, hanging up in the house cursed?
Yeah, I would go out on a limb to say that it is not even close to that popular where everyone had the picture. Like, being a popular painter.
That was my question. Whatever, like how popular was it at the time? And if there were originals, that would be one thing. But if they're prints, you know, and there was a lot of them, could just be coincidence is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
This is a live, laugh, love situation where, like, you know the people that have them. And there are, everyone knows one or two of you psychopaths that have these in your walls on your kitchen.
Just basic. Basic AF.
But not everybody has it, right? So that was kind of what these were, most likely. Like, maybe one person on your street or one every three streets had it or something like that. But yeah, not everybody, Dave. It's not like, and pictures of the kid, it'd be more like, oh, you know, my house burnt down and I had pictures of my kid on my wall, but they were fine. And then you go, oh, my house burnt down too, and I had pictures of your kids on my wall. Is more of what that would be.
Wait a second. I have more questions than just this fire.
That's what that would be more like. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it was prints. I don't think these were originals, but this was like the only thing that this guy sold was these paintings. Like any of his other art, nothing ever sold. He could only sell these crying children. That's probably why he did so many. Right. Like we're like, oh, maybe he was a bad person. Like he called him the devil himself because he was hurting these kids, or they were projecting that he was hurting these kids or whatever. But it's like, yeah, but when he paints a fucking can of soup, you guys don't want to buy it. You guys just want this, like these kids that are crying on your wall for some reason.
Again, I'm not shocked that the can of soup paintings didn't do so well.
Editor's note, a Warhol painting of soup sold for $11.8 million.
They did great. Some of the most expensive paintings are cans of soup.
I hate modern art. Can we go off on that for a little bit? Like, sure. How bad some of this modern art is. Like, there was a case of like this one painter, and he does like splatter painting, and some of it does look pretty cool. And I don't even want to go into it. I'm just going to rail on about this for way too long, and it's not about cursed possessions, but I hate modern art.
Do you think it's all
bad? People just paint a black square on a canvas and it sells for $20 million. It's like, dude, if it's something that my kids could do or something that I could do and I'm not a painter, it should not be as popular as it is.
Do you think that all of the current modern artists have like a group text chat where they're like, guess what I just did? What'd you do?
They have to. There's these art exhibits sometimes where there's one where a guy just nailed a banana to a wall.
Yeah.
And people are like, I understand this. It's like, dude, the guy is trolling you. He nailed a banana to the wall. And like, well, anything can be art. It's like, sure, but like, it shouldn't be praised. It's not good.
Like, yeah, so that was what I was saying. Like, you think it's a group chat where they're like, dude, I just nailed a banana to a canvas. Guess how much it sold for? They're like, dude, how much? And they're like, $20 million. Like, no fucking way.
Gotta be. Gotta be.
My favorite is when they just leave like a blank canvas and call it like Winter Wonderland or something. It's like, it's so inspiring. It's like, it's a blank canvas. He bought it for $20 at the store.
Yeah.
There are
actual news stories of like people like, my 6 month old has a gift, and they have this like 6 month old who's just crawling around on this canvas, and they come up with some piece of shit artwork, and like these douchebag artists are just standing around this thing like, I understand this. This has pain behind it. Like, yeah, he probably rolled his ankle when he was crawling around on the canvas, you dickhead.
There's pain behind it because he was crawling around in lead paint.
Your child is sick now. He's been hospitalized. He needs medical attention now. That is the pain behind this painting. Anyways, but this guy's paintings are actually good. They are not this. That had nothing to do with this conversation. But his paintings are actually solid.
No, he
and cursed.
Paintings are, well, they're cursed. Not my cup of tea. Like the crying child, like, you know, children are freaky. But
they're creepy.
Enough.
They're creepy pictures, because if you look at them, they're like, so behind the picture, there's a bunch of like little hands, like on like the window or the glass or the door or whatever he's standing behind. Like, it is a genuinely creepy painting, and I'm all for creepy artwork. Like when my kids get a little older, like all this, you can't see it, but the shrine that I have to the New England Patriots, it's going to get replaced by really, really creepy paintings. That's what I'm going to have in my office eventually. Yeah. Also because the Patriots are just so disappointingly bad these days that I'm a little ashamed of all my Patriots memorabilia at this point, but you know, I'll dedicate one small wall to Tom Brady, and then the rest of it is going to be creepy ass artwork. I don't need stuff just like this painting to be in there, because cursed or not, I love this kind of artwork. It's very respectable stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool looking. It's not my cup of tea, but I am down for some creepy art, and this is certainly not the only creepy art cursed possession we're going to be doing. I found multiple different paintings that are cursed possessions, and there's some that are even creepier than this one that we'll get into.
The Anguished Man.
The Anguished Man's one of them. We'll get into that. I forget what the other one's called, but basically the people in the painting leave the painting sometimes. And
what movie did we just review? Oh, It. Chapter 1.
We've reviewed so many.
I know. All right. Specifically talking about the people leaving the painting.
You know what? I straight up was talking about a different painting.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So I just Googled this one, and I'm looking at this one. Also a very good painting. So everything that I did say did apply, but I was thinking about a straight up different painting.
Yeah. So
what are you thinking about?
I will find it and I'll let you know.
He's thinking of the one that I was just talking about, where it's the subjects in it, they leave the painting at night. Anyways, that's a whole different episode. We are going to cover it.
This whole time you were talking about a different painting altogether?
Jesse was, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank God you guys have me on the show.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Welcome in everybody to Hometown. No, I'm just kidding. Not gonna restart. Yeah, so this is interesting because it starts hitting the newspaper after these fires start, and it becomes a news story. They send the reporter out to track down the painter, to find out the story about the boy behind it and all this other stuff, right? And so it's like already hysteria, but then it goes to a mass hysteria because of the newspaper getting involved. And the fire department's like, guys, we don't know what this is. Like, this isn't a real curse. And they're like, well, then why aren't these paintings catching on fire? And they have the same response when you give somebody some evidence of the paranormal, and they're like, it must just be, I don't know, maybe the wind or something. And they have no like actual answer for it.
I wonder if, no, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's very mysterious as to why they wouldn't, because I know for a fact canvases are flammable. They're not made out of flame retardant material. They will burn. So it's not that. It's not like you can coat it with something. Anything you coat a canvas with is going to be oil-based and very much flammable. So, I mean
in like one or two of these, you got to say maybe it was in a different part of the house that just didn't burn.
Mm.
But all of them? Or many of them, like that's where it starts to get questionable. I apologize for cutting you off. You were going to finish.
Nope, you're good. I was about done.
Yeah, the painting that I was talking about was The Hands Resist Him. That was the painting, which is a super creepy picture, but we'll cover that in a later episode. So lucky for me, you haven't covered the one that I was talking about. Yeah. Hey, look at that.
So you get the newspaper involved. And my biggest problem with this whole story is the newspaper itself, because they're like, send in your paintings, which this is clearly for their own publicity, right? Like, we know that's what they're doing this for. And so they get 2,500 paintings sent in, which I don't think they expected that many at all. Like, I thought they probably thought they were going to like 10 to 20 or something. They get,
yeah, you bought this artwork, like your house hasn't burned down. Yeah. I wouldn't send mine in.
Yeah. I just pulled up the Hands Resist Him painting. Holy shit.
Creepy as hell, right?
That is dark.
Yep.
Oh, man.
So the newspaper gets them to send all these paintings in, right? And they get these 2,500. They don't know what to do with it. So they decide on Halloween, right? That's the day that they're going to do this massive bonfire by the Thames River. And then they declare the curse dead.
Yeah, thanks.
Who are you? Who are you to declare the curse dead? You think you got every painting in the entire, you know, in the world, or even in your country? Of course not. Not everyone's going to send it into you, you psychopath, and you can just declare that the curse is dead. Come on. Like, if there is an actual curse, the, you know, News Weekly over in Oshkosh, Britain doesn't get to decide when it's over.
I hate that place.
I declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, you can't do that. You could say, like, this curse took a big hit today as we burnt a lot of the paintings. We don't know how much there are. Yeah, that's part of the story. That's ridiculous.
Well, it had to be just an attempt to get people to stop talking about it, you know? Because you got to wonder, like, when something like that gains steam and you start hearing more and more about it, and like this one, this fire had one, that fire had one. You got to wonder about arson at that point, copycat things, people just wanting to be part of the story. And they're like, with the proliferation of the painting popping up in all these fires, you got to wonder if officials are just like, put an end to it. Just say it's over.
Who do you think you are? Like, you are, yesterday you covered a hot dog eating contest, and today you're going to declare that a curse is dead? Sorry, Rob. I didn't mean to curse you with a hot dog eating contest reference.
Oh my God, but like, stop saying it.
This is a news station. Like, even if the government were to put this on and the government were to declare something over, that would hold a little more weight. It still wouldn't be true. That's not how you, but at least people are like, oh, well, it's the government, you know, or something, but or the church, maybe the Vatican would come out with a statement and be like, we took care of this curse. I'd be like, well, that's something that you dabble in. But no, you guys covered a raccoon crossing the street yesterday, you know, like in a dancing squirrel on Friday. And today you are now the arbiters of ending curses. Like, nah, get the hell out of here. Like, you are underqualified for such things.
Well, how many times has the Catholic Church been like, we declare this possession over, you are no longer possessed, and they leave and the person's still very possessed and then dies. You know.
Well, there's that.
Yesterday, a duck named Darnold walked over to the pond in Transbury Park.
Yeah. I like how you went with Darnold Duck.
Darnold Duck.
Not sued by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Or Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Darnold's that was duck. On purpose. And then you ruined it by saying it. So now we are still going to get sued.
I didn't say it, though.
Thank you.
That's good publicity, right?
Yeah. I just forward
this episode over to our legal team before we release it.
I just walked with his friend Mikey Mouse.
And their dog Plute 10.
We can move on.
do a name, Jesse. Make one up on the command.
I already got the painting wrong, so I don't have to get more things wrong today.
All right. No, so like the newspaper, they were the ones perpetuating this. They were the ones that were reporting on this. They're the ones that are saying everything about this curse. And then, well, the curse is dead. So like they're building their story and building their own climax. That's my biggest problem.
Yeah. It also sounds like someone up top was like, put a plug in it. We've run enough stories about this painting.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just kind of like what bothers me. But I mean, when we start talking about we don't like to see houses burn down, but we like to see consistency.
I don't know. Have you seen a house burn down? It's awesome.
All right.
Well, I mean, obviously you feel bad for the family, but I mean, if your neighbor's house is burning down right now,
Jesse's trying to get himself on an arsonist watch list.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Fire is so good.
Oh my God. But when we see 60 houses burn down and they all are having the same reports of this fire being in the wreckage and being like the only thing that's still relatively pristine.
Yeah, obviously that's a huge standout.
You're kind of seeing like the same thing. Now, the other problem is some people were saying that it was different versions of his paintings. It wasn't always consistently the same one. So there are some variables in this that like will make you scratch your head a little bit is what I would say.
Cursed artist, if you will. I think a lot of it is probably coincidence. Mm-hmm. But if we want to jump into this part of it now, I would lean on this being a legitimate curse because, dude, like, okay, let's go back to the Swansea Devil. The fact that he survived one fire, we're like, that's cool, must be a curse. Mm-hmm. Or survived, that wasn't just a fire, he survived an entire bombing from the Nazis. But like,
right,
the fact that his building and his statue was untouched, we're like, that's cool. Prophecy came true, got to be a curse, right? This is happening over and over and over and over again. We're talking about potentially 60 plus times. I find it hard to not consider this some sort of a curse. What are the logistics of it? I would find it more authentic if they were original paintings and not just prints.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't make
were the rules. They all prints? Because maybe the curse is, don't make prints of the original. If you make a print of the original.
If they're all prints, then maybe you're right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kind of like a Robert the Doll situation. Don't take a picture of this thing. Mm. Right? making a print of something is essentially, you know, taking a picture of it, right?
Yeah.
Printing a picture of it.
Before we get into if we think it's a curse or not individually, what are you guys' thoughts on like the whole backstory attached to this with the actual orphan and finding out that portion of it? Do you think that lays any credence to it where his parents died in a fire? Fires broke out around him with no explanation. The artist adopts him. The fire breaks out at his house. He tells him to leave. And then they eventually find this kid when he's a little bit older, dead in a fire.
It's impossible to ignore these points, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that is actually all the way that it all went down without exaggeration, then I'm sold that it's a curse. You know,
how can you not?
How can you not what? Well, how can you not buy
it? How can we not buy it? If all of that is true, it's like, well, you know, where's the evidence? Well, fire, fire, fire. Fire, 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 dead by fire, dead by fire, 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 painter, adopted, arsonist, fire, 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 more fire, and fire. So where's
my favorite song?
Draw these lines. it's just everything leads back to one thing. It would be silly not to equate it to a curse.
Yeah. I mean, so that is supposedly, when I was looking into this, that was reported by an actual reporter for a newspaper. I haven't found a second source to verify it, though. So it's like, I want to believe it because you would think that your reputation's on the line. You need to verify your sources. You need to verify everything before you print the story. It's
like an actual news source and not just joelovesfire.wordpress.com or something.
Yeah. Jesse loves fire, apparently.
What? I'll be right back.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I find it more interesting because there's things that are in this. Based on the newspaper, like perpetuating it, declaring the curse over, that's where it gets a little like murky for me. But if the whole orphan story is factual and the actual 60 fires is legit, it feels like it would have to be a curse. Yeah,
to me, the newspaper thing has nothing to do with the story for me. That's just some attempt to make headlines. Mm. Right. So that story doesn't really matter to me. I don't believe them. I don't think they ended a curse. I think it was a silly charade to get either, viewers or clicks on their website or whatever. That's all bullshit to me. It doesn't matter at all. And you definitely didn't end the curse. But everything else that you just mentioned, all of that leads me to believe that it's impossible to say it's not a curse.
What about you, Dave?
I lean towards it. Probably is a curse, and you know, there's so many factors that support the idea that this is a curse. There's the consistency angle that we like, that we talk about in a lot of things. It's a specific curse, or it seems to be a specific curse. We don't have any actually like text as to what the curse is, but it seems to be specific. And then if you weigh that against the facts against it, like, you know, it could be coincidence. There's so many of them. It could be, if they're just prints, where's the authenticity there? And the fire marshal's literally saying, this is where the fire started. And people saying, no, I think it's, have you heard about the curse? It could play either way, but I think I lean more towards the, if give some credibility to the origin story, then I lean more towards this is probably a curse.
I think I love the idea. I think you brought it up, Dave, that the curse could be making a print of the original, you know, and if you have that, then you're in trouble. Should have been the artist.
That was actually what I was going to start with too, because I think that's a great like concept of what could be doing it. Like if there is a curse, I'm going to throw a curveball at both of you. I don't think it's real. I think the newspaper is a big part of it. And I think the newspaper made a lot of shit up, to be perfectly honest with you. Just based on the story, we have one reporter that went and talked to this painter, supposedly. The backstory is really convenient, like overly convenient on like this painter met this kid and the priest was like, no, you can't do anything with this kid. He's the worst. He has fires break out. He's like, I will adopt this child. Like we're watching a soap opera almost like type deal. We don't have verification from a second account. I wonder if in the 80s we've seen newspapers embellished so that they can actually like sell more papers. I don't know. If everything that is true, then yes, absolutely it's a curse. But if my spider senses that are going off that this newspaper was bullshitting a lot of it, that's my spider senses, Dave. I do these hands.
Well, is it the same newspaper that bullshitted the end of the curse?
I would assume, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same
one. Okay, then it's probably, yeah, then you're probably right. So, I mean, let's go back and reassure that we preface that with, if this whole backstory is true, it's impossible to ignore. Right. So we're all yes, on the same page there. Absolutely. If we're believing the source, then we're saying, yes, it's probably true. But if we're just taking that out and if we remove that really convenient backstory, then it's probably just a bunch of fires.
Now, what else I will say is that after the curse was broken, which it theoretically wouldn't have been, there are reports that there have been other houses and businesses that have burnt down and the same thing has continued to happen. So it does feel like there could be some validity to it. I don't know. It feels weird to me. It feels like something's off is what I will say.
It does feel very convenient the way that the whole thing laid out, but I mean, it is what it is. So like we said, we'd like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. We don't want to come out here and just be like, but you're probably lying, you know? So So if the stories are true, then yeah, I think it's a curse. If any bit of that ends up being, turns out it was made up, then I think it's complete bullshit.
Yeah. No, I have no problem hearing on any story, any narrative. Hear it out, because, you know, I don't like to pretend. I do lean a little bit more on the skeptical side on things, but I'm what I consider to be a healthy skeptic, not what is considered to be a lazy skeptic. And those are the people that just say, I don't believe in any of this type of stuff, so it can't possibly be real, which mm-hmm. is just...
Which is the fire department in the story, right?
I guess. I mean, it's their job to find the scientific evidence of a fire, right? You can't...
Yeah,
you
the know, fire department is
the fire not... fire department can't come back and be like, it's a curse.
They have experts... who know exactly. This is one of those jobs that blows my mind, is that someone can walk into a pile of ash. I'm like, well, it was an electrical fire. Like, that's crazy to me. Now it's probably really simple for them to figure it out, because they do determine it pretty quick and they can go figure out the source. But I just look at, every time I burn down a house, I go back the next morning and I look at a giant pile of ash and wood. I'm like, they're never going to find out it was me. Look at me. I'm still there.
He gets arrested every single time.
God, you came back again. Yeah. Anyways.
So I think
that's... the criminal always returns. Do you see?
Yeah. I think that's going to do it for this Curse Possession episodes, the painting of the crying boy. Interesting takes on both ends. It is one I can see both ways. I don't know. Sometimes, you know how you just get that weird feeling that something doesn't sit right? That's kind of where I am with this one.
For sure. Let me thank our patrons real quick for our VIPs. We have Jeannie R, Justin T, Lisa J, Mallory K, Mike B, Mom and Pops W, Robert H, Stephen V, and we have Demon King. Thank you guys so much for being VIPs. You truly mean the world to us. We love you. We also have Anna C, Even Better Hometown Ghost Stories. We have Garrett, Jake V, Rachel B, Stephanie A, Sydney B, Anthony Angry Dave Rocks T, Brandon W, Brennan B, Captain McSlugs, Cody G, Huggy Bear, Carrie Lee J, Mark M, Matthew T, Mariah M, Papa Squatch, Sarah, Dave Loves Bacon R, Sarah W, Solar Flare, Soph, and Hooper.
Woo!
Yeah, it's getting to be a mouthful. Thank you guys so much. For as little as $3 a month, you can get your name on this list and get... thanked profusely from us here at Hometown Ghost Stories.
If you join our $50 tier that's coming up, Jesse will come burn down your house.
That is so prestigious.
We're getting paid for this? Perfect.
Hey, all right. Do you want to get us out of here, Jesse?
Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Tuesday with another brand new live episode of Hometown Ghost Stories. For all you folks at home, we'll see you next time.
in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.